It's 5:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Cynthia Schuster.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, federal agencies have approved new banking rules aimed at getting some of the risk out of the industry. We'll hear what happened and what's going to change after 5:30.
First, a lot of Americans are scrambling to manage work lives and caring for older relatives, and it's often an overwhelming experience. According to an AARP survey, about half of employees in the United States expect to provide care for an older relative in the next 5 years. 4 in 10 of us will have already provided that kind of care.
Our next guest has advice on how to manage this juggling act, and you can join in with your questions and experiences. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Amy Goyer is with us. She's aging, home, and family expert for AARP. She's the author of Juggling Work and Caregiving. That's a new free ebook from AARP. Amy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. So nice to be with you.
So who is this affecting, and how many of us is this affecting?
You know, there are about 42 million caregivers in the United States, and about 74% of them have worked at some point during their caregiving journey, whether at a part-time job or a full-time job. So this affects a huge amount of the workforce. As you say, about half of the workforce is expected to be providing care for elders sometime during the next 5 years.
And one of the people this affecting is you. You've been through this multiple times, right?
I actually have. I cared for my grandparents when I was in my 20s and working full-time. And I have been caregiving for my parents in a very intense way for the past 5 years, and actually relocated across the country to be near with them and care for them. My mom just recently passed about 8 weeks ago, and my dad still lives with me, and he has Alzheimer's disease.
So you're managing a lot now, and I'm sorry for your loss.
Thank you so much.
So there's a wide variety, a wide range of things. Talk about what makes a person a caregiver from just doing a little to doing a whole lot.
You know, there's really so many roles in being a caregiver. It may start out with some of the things that I did. You may just help a little bit here and there around the house, or with managing, you know, a complicated health situation, or help out with, you know, something that might be more difficult to manage in terms of the home or finances. And you might just be every now and then, but then you start to do it on a more regular basis as people need more assistance. And the range goes all the way up to someone like myself who has their parents living with them, who, my parents essentially could not be alone, and my dad still can't. So you're essentially caring for all of their needs, physical, financial, health, food, everything.
We're going to spend most of our time on the practical advice and emotional advice you give in your book. But one thing I wanted to get to, I imagine everybody in this situation, it's unique and they feel overwhelmed. It seems like an overarching message you're sending is you're not alone.
That is exactly the message. I know, again, from my own experience, and I speak with caregivers all over the country about this, and everyone feels like they're the only ones doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, we all feel very isolated. You know, you think when you're raising kids, you have sort of a built-in peer group. You meet other parents through the kids. That doesn't really happen when you're caregiving, especially for older or family members. And, you know, the majority of us are caring for our older parents. So you feel very isolated.
Well, let's start getting into some of what to do. One of the first things, like you talk about in the book, is as you start to realize you have these time commitments that you have to juggle with work, how do you talk to your employer about getting some kind of flexibility to deal with these things?
Many people are intimidated about bringing this up at work because they're concerned about looking like they're not committed to their job or that they may not be a good employee. We generally say, in most cases, it's good to let your employer know what's going on in your life, because you don't want them to think that, you know, you're coming in late or calling in sick a lot or being away from work because you're not committed or you don't care about your job. You actually have a life experience going on that's very demanding. You want them to know and reassure them repeatedly that you're committed to your work, but it's helpful to talk it over with them. And if you're having some specific challenges, you can talk about some changes that could be made, what flexibility is there. And you might want to speak first with the Human Resources Department about what benefits are available for employees or what flexible work situations there are.
And you make the point that you don't have to necessarily put your career on hold or go in with the attitude that you're putting your career on hold while dealing with caregiving for an elderly relative.
You know, so many times it's just an overwhelming situation, and especially if there's a catastrophic health issue, someone has a heart attack or a stroke or something comes on suddenly, and you just feel like, I can't handle all this. I have to quit my job. That may not be the best choice for you for many reasons. One, you have to look at your own financial stability and your long-term financial security and planning for retirement. But you also have to realize that that's an important part of your identity. And it may be, I know for me, work is respite in a way. It's something I can throw myself into. Now, my work has to do with caregiving, but for all of us, there's a certain amount of us. So it might be better to make some slight changes in your work rather than quit altogether.
And one big point, and I think probably a lot of people have heard this, is you have to take care of yourself as well as the person you're giving care for. And everybody knows that, but how do we start making that a mindset and putting it into practice?
Mm-hmm. You know, that's probably the biggest challenge as a caregiver, is taking care of your own needs, because you have someone who you see is much more vulnerable than you are, and you're trying to care for them, and the needs can just be overwhelming at times. I think the important thing, and as you say, it's a mindset. You have to adjust your mindset to, literally, if I have to nurture myself and take in energy and have my energy levels up so that I can give to someone else. You know, the analogy that's often used is when you're on an airplane and they have the oxygen mask that drop down, and they say, always put it on the person, if there's a child or someone you're caring for, put it on yourself first, then put the oxygen mask on the other person. Because if you pass out before you get their mask on, nobody's taken care of. That's how it is with caregiving. So some of the practical things that I suggest are work in the taking care of yourself with your caregiving. I know that for me, walking is my best exercise. And if I try to get out and do a lot on my own walking, I just never can find the time. But I can walk with my dad, and he likes to walk the dog. So I make sure that every day I get a walk in with my dad. Then I'm spending quality time with him, making sure he gets his exercise and I get mine. Another thing we did was we have a pool because we live in Arizona and everyone has pools, and we did water exercises together. You know, you have to schedule in the care for yourself. I try to schedule in once a week something that's nurturing for me, whether it's a massage or spending time with friends or whatever it is that works for you. If you don't schedule that in your calendar and mark it down, the time will get eaten up by something else.
Part of that self-care is on the emotional side, things you might feel guilt, stress, fear, a lot of emotions can be involved in this caregiving and stressful situation. How do we cope emotionally?
Well, you really have to acknowledge those emotions and recognize them. And, you know, it's not a bad thing to feel resentful or angry or exhausted and fearful. Those things are part of the whole experience. So acknowledge those, but try to also look at the positives. What do you enjoy about caregiving? What makes you feel fulfilled, or do you feel good that you have this relationship with your loved one? Balance those emotions that way as much as you can so that you can see it is a fully rounded experience. Sometimes it's very helpful to get support from other caregivers. Caregiver support groups can be a wonderful place to sort of vent those emotions because other people are going through the same things.
But do people have time for that, to add a support group meeting to all the other responsibilities?
It's a real challenge. Many people tell me that that's their first priority of anything they do all
really?
Week is going to their support group. But I do online support groups. It's very hard for me to get to an in-person group, but there are all kinds of online groups. AARP has an online community group for caregivers where you can post questions or just post a comment, oh, I'm having a really rough day, those sorts of things. Look for online because you can do that at any time of day, even once your loved one's sleeping at night, or, you know, you can work that in sometimes better. And sometimes professional counseling is a real help as well.
We're talking to Amy Goyer about her new book for AARP. It's called Juggling Work and Caregiving.
And you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. That's 1-800-642-1234. Are you in this position, trying to juggle your work life while caring for an older relative? Let us know your thoughts and questions. Maybe you're looking for some advice. Our number once again, 800-642-1234. Our email address is talk@wpr.org. We pick up our conversation now with Amy Goyer, author of Juggling Work and Caregiving.
And you can join the show. Are you trying to manage your work life and caring for an older relative, a parent maybe? Call and tell us your story. Call with your questions. Our guest has a lot of advice, or maybe you've got some advice of your own that you can share. Our number is 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to the phones now. We've got Jugbish calling from Germantown. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for calling, taking my call. My mom is living with me since last 5 years. And sometime, as the author mentioned, we get angry because of some work related stress and some other stuff, and after that anger is over. I feel bad because I got angry on my mom, and that's so how do I how do I avoid those type of situation?
So anger and then guilt about the anger, Amy.
Boy, I know how you feel. You know, guilt seems to be our constant companion as caregivers. The key thing is that you need to recognize when your stress is building up. Stress and burnout, which is extreme stress when it's affecting every aspect of your life, it's so easy to reach that point. And then that's a lot of times when the anger comes in and boils over. So taking those steps ahead of time to recognize when you're starting to feel a little more irritated more frequently, when there's a situation that feels out of control or that you just can't figure out, that's the time to get help before you kind of reach that point of boiling over. When you do reach that anger point, take that as a signal. That's a time, again, if you've already reached that point, what can you change in the situation to kind of alleviate the pressure that's causing you to get angry? Maybe you need some more help caring for your mom. Maybe other families can help. Maybe a little bit of paid help now and then would be, you know, manageable, but give you just enough of a break to ease your stress.
Let's talk some more about that idea of getting help. I think a lot of people maybe feel like it's all on them. Where do we go to start building a team to help with the care?
Yeah, you know, your caregiving team, sometimes people don't have a lot of family members to help out, and so they feel like, well, I just don't have a team. Not true. Everyone that interacts with your loved one is part of your team, whether it be the doctors, nurses, home care providers, neighbors, your faith community, your loved one's friends, your friends. Everybody is part of your team. So taking an assessment of who could help out in different ways. I'll tell you, one of the most important members of my caregiving team is a woman who has a concierge business. She's sort of like a personal assistant. I found that I needed to be freed up so that I could do with the things for my parents that only I can do and to have quality time with them. So she helps me with things like running errands, sorting mail, helping me figure out complicated paperwork with insurance and things like that. Sometimes, you know, she'll come over and help me reorganize a closet, the things that build up and really cause you a lot of stress, but you can't just get done by yourself. So look at your caregiving team broadly. Go to the Area Agency on Aging in your local area. They're the top resource for knowing what's locally available. And then check out the AARP Online Caregiving Resource Center, and that's at aarp.org/caregiving. We have all kinds of resources, ideas there. Again, our online community can be very helpful.
And when somebody says, let me know if there's anything I can do to help, don't take that as just sort of a formal statement. Like, you can really take them up on that.
Exactly. Accept help. It's really hard to do because, you know, sometimes we think we're the only ones who can do it right, and we care so much about our loved ones, we want it done correctly. But also, it's just sometimes hard to ask for help. So, A, ask for help, but B, many people offer, and they don't know what to do to help you. So it helps sometimes just to sit down and take 15 minutes and make a list of the kinds of things other people can do. Again, you may not want to ask someone to come and help your mother with personal care, but they might not mind at all watering your plants or sorting your mail or doing some things that would free your time up.
Go back to our callers now. We have Bill with us in Wakeville. Bill, hi.
Yeah, hi. I just want to say that it is really self-rewarding to actually take care of a family member in many situations. And one is that you become very close, not only as a relative, but as a friend. And it's kind of you have to learn a balance and time out, and you find out kind of and design your own strong support system.
Great. Thanks for the call, Bill. And that's a good point, Amy. You're kind of touching on recognizing the whole emotional range of experience. And it isn't just anger, guilt, and stress. You're doing this out of love, and it can be a positive thing, too.
That is so true. A recent AARP poll found 8 in 10 people feel good about helping someone, 8 in 10 caregivers. 52% say, I'm really proud of what I'm doing. And 1 in 5 say they have a better relationship with that loved one. And I agree with the caller so much. You know, I have developed a different kind of relationship. I've always been close with my parents, but to be able to care for them is something that is so fulfilling, and I have a closer relationship with them as a friend, as you say, and almost as a peer, as a caregiver. It's just an incredibly rewarding relationship.
Switching gears again a little bit to a practical tip, you have a lot of advice on getting organized. Why is that so important, and how can we get started organizing ourselves for caregiving?
Well, when we're caregiving and working, time is at a premium. There aren't enough hours in the day to do everything. There just is so much. So you have to be organized. I really think it's the only way to survive the experience, because otherwise you're just constantly having a lot of things swimming around in your head that you haven't gotten done, and you just constantly feel like a failure. You got to feel positive about some things, and getting organized can help. I have a lot in the book about how you can use technology to help yourself keep your loved one's information organized, their health records, their finances, but also using online tools or apps on your phone that help you, you know, with your grocery list and keeping track of legal documents, all kinds of things. And that has helped me a great deal, I know.
How do you know when it's time to go from maybe just every day helping out a little bit here and there to getting into helping navigate healthcare or helping manage finances? That's a big leap.
It is. But as I said, most people, this happens gradually, unless there's just suddenly a catastrophic health situation like a stroke, a heart attack, something happens. Even with those who have dementia, it's a process over time. And so you may start by helping out a little bit with those things, and then there comes a point where you realize this is too much for my loved one to deal with. If you've been helping a little bit gradually before it reaches that point, it's a lot easier for them to let go and allow you to manage something that they really can't handle anymore. Otherwise, you may have a little bit more of a struggle on your hands. I know with my dad, I saw the stress that was building up with him, and I had started out by, for example, with his finances. I got him a separate bank account with a separate ATM card where he just managed sort of his everyday things, and then I paid all his bills from another account. And eventually that was really getting to be a lot for him. So, you know, we made changes there. You know, you have to have conversations about these things ahead of time if you can. And those are difficult conversations. I have a lot of tips on the AARP website about how to have those conversations. And, you know, when do I need to do that? And the signs to look for. For example, if you see the mail building up when you go to visit for the holidays and you think, this is not right, Mom wouldn't usually let the mail pile up like that. I wonder if there are bills that are not getting paid. That's a red flag. Maybe they need a little bit help. Doesn't mean necessarily they need you to take everything over at that moment. Maybe they just need help sorting and organizing all of it.
In our last minute or so, you've mentioned a couple of resources throughout our conversation here. Are there a couple other places you might point people toward if they're in this situation where they can get help, advice, or a sympathetic ear?
Right. You know, as I mentioned, the AARP Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. We have resources there that will help get you back down to your local level as well. Your area agency on aging, you can look that up at eldercare.gov, and they can help you find local resources. And, you know, you need to reach out again. Look in your faith communities locally. Do they have some respite programs? Is there volunteers that might help out? Find out, you know, how you can help build your team, get support for yourself, and make sure your loved one is cared for.
Amy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, and happy holidays to all of you.
To you too as well. That was Amy Goyer. She's aging, home, and family expert for AARP. She's the author of Juggling Work and Caregiving. It's a new free ebook, and we've got a link to that on the Central Time Facebook page.